You're listening to the Rogers Sporting Goods Podcast with Patrick Fisher,
Chandler Smith,
and Josh from Outdoor Limits.
In this podcast, we'll touch on everything from gear to ducks to deer, turkey and fishing, from field to table. Let's dive in.
So, obviously, turkey is in full swing, but me and Chandler, So, we went out yesterday, and one of the things he was doing, I can't really see him. I'm kind of facing away, and I'm like,
so you guys were hunting together?
You're like a gopher over there. He had like a little snack. He did, and then we get done, and apparently while he was doing that in his mind, he's like, and hopefully someone doesn't steal this idea, but he wants to come up with quiet snacks, like that's the brand or whatever for hunting.
Well, like a different wrapper.
Yeah.
Well.
So it's quiet.
Sell that to Little Debbie's.
Or even like you're in a business meeting, you know, you get a little snack. And you know, get it, you don't want to be over there.
How about you just take it out of the loud package and throw it in a Ziploc bag?
Well, the thing is, like, sure, it doesn't matter like where you are in the woods when it's peace and quiet, right? Like a squirrel sounds like an elephant coming through the woods, right?
That's mm-hmm. true.
With the leaves. So as soon as you like crack a package, it's like, like everything heard us from like 6 miles away. Like we just screwed up the whole deal for sure.
That's why I hunt birds.
So
not turkeys, but so other birds.
Like I will say, so this turkey season, right? So on the FA vest, it's got the two pockets for your pot calls.
Uh huh.
Well, I'm only running the slate because I like running mouth calls. So I have the slate here, and then I have my mouth calls in the vest, and then this pocket that opens up, that's where I got licorice.
Licorice?
Yeah.
You really are old.
Do you just dump like the Twizzler niblets out there?
The cherry ones? Those are good.
There's
these, cherry niblets.
There's, I don't know. I've only seen them out west. But
he likes the black licorice.
There's this super freaking good like licorice that's like.
Wallaby?
Yes. I think that's what it is.
Dude, that's my jam. Hi-V. Dude.
You guys are old.
Dude, that's not an old thing.
It's like a chunk.
Yes, it's giant.
You can get different flavors.
Yes. You want some Necco wafers, too?
Bro, I had the whole thing. No pot call in there. It's licorice.
So you just dumping that in there?
Yeah. And then guess what? No noise. You open it up, take one, close it. It's got the little magnet.
I say wallaby, but it's something
whatever
like
it is.
That.
Yeah. And then,
oh, man.
And then, those like, where we good. Were.
I'll smash a 5-pound bag of wallabies.
It can get ugly quick, for sure. So then, like, where the thermocell is,
yeah,
like, on the vest, there's no bugs out there where we were, right, in the west. So that's where I got my water bottle. And I got my little iced tea in there.
And where his strikers go are Slim Jims.
Oh, that would be.
That's a good idea.
Great-ass idea.
He unwraps them. He's just pulling out
we need a Slim Jim. We need to make a video of. Just rigging a turkey vest full of snacks.
But no,
oatmeal
calls.
Oatmeal cream pies in the pot call pockets.
A little fudge round.
Bro,
in your,
yeah. Guess what else will fit over here? Moon pies.
In yeah.
Bro. Yeah, any round cake.
Done.
Honey
little
buns.
Debbie,
let's
whatever.
Do a, we'll do
and a, your sleeve of donuts can go in the box call pocket.
100%. Another one over there. Oh, listen.
Hayden, you down for this gangster. Video?
Yes.
100%.
So he's like on fruit snacks.
Yeah, he's got
Hayden's,
fruit snacks over
Hayden's
there.
He's dumping fruit snacks.
See, bro, you can go fruit snacks in the pot call. You could have fruit snacks on one side. You could have, you know what you could have in the other pot call? You can go Cheez-Its. It's Cheez-Its are gangster.
Yeah.
Where's my Capri Sun go?
A little sweet and salty.
I don't know if we have a place for Josh's Pop-Tarts, but actually the zipper pockets, 100% Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those wrappers, loudest rappers in the game. Is freaking Pop-Tarts.
We're joined with Mario from Final Approach, by
Holy
the way.
Crap. And we're
anybody
talking snacks.
Who's listening and
it's
not
been,
watching this?
Did we have you in the fall last year?
Yeah,
I
wasn't in the fall.
Was the last time you were
December?
Here?
Let me shout out to everyone in the East Coast, which is Ohio, Pennsylvania, in that section. If we're talking about any kind of like bad snack for you, like a Little Debbie or Little Donuts, let me just say you can put your tasty cakes in any of those pockets because I know exactly which tasty cakes are going to fit where because those are
tasty
gangster.
Cakes.
Bro,
that's what they have out there.
I think they sell them here.
Dude, listen, that's the reason.
So there's like Little Debbie, Hostess.
Yep.
And
tasty cakes.
Yes. Tasty cake is the king.
Isn't Entenmann's
is in the East as well. That's where I think it got started. But Tasty Cake is just another level. Mm. That's like, so yeah, I'll slam my little chocolate peanut butter candy cakes in that pot call freaking slide. Mm. And actually, they're only a 3-pack, so you could double up and do two 3-packs. It's over. That's when you're like,
you don't have to put all the turkey hunting stuff into all those pockets.
No. Well, you're getting, listen, if you're doubling up on the candy cakes in the pocket, like, you're fat kid status for
sure.
Well,
if anybody knows me or has listened to this podcast over the year,
you're
you know what's going in my decoy bag? A 12-pack of Charmin.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's what's going in there, especially after all those snacks.
Bro, a 12-pack? This isn't COVID. I'm just saying, holy crap.
Crap is right. I need 10,000 sheets.
Oh my God. You're too much.
Okay, Patrick.
Yes, I was here in the fall. You're right.
That or it's like my carry-on. So you always have an extra pair of socks and underwear. That's what Pat's going to have. That's what Pat's going to have.
Patrick needs an extra pair of underwear.
Extra gloves.
This is extra outfit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Little change bag.
You're like a kid going to daycare, bro.
Little change bag. If they made camo Pampers, I'd be all in. Some camo adult Pampers.
Maybe Depends.
That'd be called Depends.
Maybe they make those for you.
Bottomland Depends.
Yeah, you might want to
check whatever. That. Bottomland's hot these days.
Oh, my God.
Bottomland for your Bottomland.
There you go.
That may be our April Fool's. We'll do the Bottomland Depends diapers. For
Bottomland for your Bottom.
For those crappy mornings.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Anywho.
But Mario is here. He has joined us all the way out from the West Coast in Oregon. Good he is God. The
what was your radio
VP
name?
Of Final Approach.
No idea what it was.
I just call Mario. Him Super Mario.
Yeah, it was
that's
just
what
Mario.
He's that's in
what
my I phone. Call him.
That's all
Super
it was.
Mario.
That's
picture all Jet. Yeah,
but we all know him as Mario.
Shout Anybody? Out to the Oregon people.
Yep. Yep.
Jeb and Corey out there, they're holding it down. Of
yeah,
course,
they are.
Cody and Kyle up in Washington. I was turkey hunting with those guys over in eastern Washington. So, the turkey stuff has just gone wild this year. So,
when does the... Okay. Yeah, you know what? We'll roll with it. It's fine. When does the turkey season start in Oregon?
So every year, it doesn't matter what day it falls on. And I believe it goes for Washington as well. It's April 15th, no matter what. It doesn't matter if it's a Sunday, a Tuesday, a Friday.
Like, so that's the same here.
Is that what they do here?
Yeah, season open
April
on Monday
15th.
Here.
Yeah.
Or no. Ours changes.
Okay.
Because it
does not matter. It is the 15th.
I know ours always opens on a Monday.
So then
it does change.
I guess
it always opens on a Monday.
No, we're always the 15th, and doesn't matter. Like I said, doesn't matter what day it is. This year it started on a Monday.
It's so weird because ours always opens on a Monday, and it's a build up, right? It's like a slow entry into the hunting week because you only get some. Not everybody gets
not
the
a lot
days
of people
off.
Hunt on Monday.
So then Patrick there's a build up. You get the opening weekend, but you really get. So what is it?
Missouri season's short. It's like 2.5 weeks.
Three.
Yeah, but that first week you can only kill one bird, can't you?
Correct.
And then, so after that following weekend, then it's on for you to kill another bird.
I don't know. I've never turkey hunted in Missouri.
Yeah, so we open on the 15th. So we just had our opening weekend.
Right.
We've got this weekend.
Right.
And then one more weekend. So technically, you get 3 weekends.
Yeah, that's
but it's
good.
Weird. I mean, you really could just make it 4 if you just open it up on a Saturday.
Well, there's probably, you know, who knows? They probably have so many days, and this is what you get. So they're trying to maximize the weekends for everybody.
Opens on a Monday, always closes on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's why.
For us.
Yeah.
So you open the same time.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm just thinking, okay, so for us, I always feel like, for spring turkey, so like youth weekend was the 2 day. It was the 6th and 7th. It was the weekend before.
Yes.
And so I felt like typically you see a lot better, like the breeding. See, it's heating up. The gobblers are going crazy. It's always like that first weekend in April.
Yeah.
What's it like there? Because, you know, like, is it like the rut? for, you know, the rut starts later for deer season, depending how far south you go. Are they rocking and rolling the same time?
It all depends on the weather. Like, it truly does. It's all weather dependent. Like, but the thing about us is, like, okay, so we started on a Monday, right? And the way that was situated, the Saturday, Sunday wasn't the youth weekend. It was the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave them a whole week to, like, kind of calm down. So that was good. Depending on what the weather is doing and also what the birds are doing. I know that sounds like so generic and so dumb, right? Like, mm-hmm. like I'm just guessing. But if the weather heats up early where I'm at, they're fired up and going, right? But if it's rainy and crappy, like you could literally just wait them out. The other thing is, depending on what the weather's doing and what the birds are doing, what I mean by that is, are they all henned up? Are they in huge groups? And have they bred all the hens that they're with? If they're, like, taking their time, I know this sounds like so many, like, different things, but if they're taking their time and they're not in a rush, like the weather doesn't have them all hopped up, it's going to be a slower start. And then those strutters are going to kind of break off. And, you know, you could call them out of there because all of a sudden you're the new girl in town and they hear you and they're like, oh, I'm gonna go over there. So I know that's crazy, but it all depends on those two things. But, I mean, that's what I've seen since I've been out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors. We're actually pretty dry.
And the east part of the state here is different than the west part of the state. Do you know what I mean? Because the east will be drier, like where I was with Cody and Kyle in eastern Washington. It was cold over there. Like the one morning, it was 24 degrees. Like we were in a little blind that they had made out of all this timber they cut down and stuff. We literally had Mr. Heaters going because everybody was freezing their freaking behinds off. Like how nuts is that? So, but then on the west part of the state, it was, you know, on and off rain, pretty crappy. So, I mean, that's different too. So, like I said, both sides are even different. So it's a crapshoot. So,
yeah. Do you get I guess, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, because you've got some mountain areas and
for sure.
So do you get some mountain turkeys and you get some lowland turkeys?
And they're all Merriam's, right?
Different
Rios and Merriam's. So Merriam's were in the eastern part of there's Merriam's. I think Washington actually gets both Merriam's and Rios, because where we were, it was Merriam's. So that was the east part. And I think all your western birds right there on the eastern Washington side were Merriam's. He said sometimes they'll get like a hybrid. I don't, you know, it's a wild situation. But yeah, they'll be like eastern Washington was like, you know, we were up east, like Spokane, almost that area. You get like big flatlands and then huge timber cuts where it's like we were in a spot where literally we were on a ridge that you looked almost straight down and it was like as far as you could see, I mean, miles in this canyon. And we were standing and calling and trying to get birds. It was one day where we couldn't get them up the hill and it's like straight up. And he's like, they will come up the hill, but they were all henned up and they wouldn't break off. And then there was a section of Jake's that they didn't even break off and come up the hill. And it was like, you were calling down this huge canyon and it's like half a mile straight down. Like it's bananas.
Was that public, private, a little bit above?
Private looking down to public. Well, yes, both. It was like a lot of private, some public mixed in. There's just a lot of property over there. I mean, it was funny. We're on top of this thing and Cody's like, there's two strutters down in that field. I'm like, dude, I can't even see down there. That's like, so I get the binoculars out and I'm like, holy crap, there's two strutters. Dude, they were so far you couldn't even hear them gobble. They were so far.
Could you see them gobble?
You could.
Stick their neck out?
They'd stick their neck out and you'd be like waiting for it. You're like, dude, I can't even hear that. That's how far they were. So, yeah.
What's the limit up there? What's your guys' tag situation?
So, Washington was, you actually could kill three, but it depends on what counties you were in.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, I think you can go to two and maybe you can go higher. I've never, like I'm to the point of, like, if I shoot one turkey in Oregon, I'm good.
You're satisfied?
Yeah. And I mean, our population is different. You know, you have to go south, and I'm just not worried about just like scraping turkeys there. You know,
you do that with geese.
Yeah. Like everything else, I'll wear them out.
Can you hunt all day?
Yes, we don't have any rules like you guys have. Like, I know that changed.
I know here. It changed this year for right. us.
But I've never seen that.
Missouri, well, and North Dakota. North Dakota geese, they have a cutoff in specific days.
Okay.
But Missouri is like the only other state that I have had experience with where they have cutoff times for waterfowl hunting or just hunting in general.
I think in the east, they have some cutoff times for turkeys as well. And I'm trying to think where. And I think some down south. Now, there's other states like, I did not know this, but Colby in Alabama said mm-hmm. that you can't use decoys for like the first week or two of turkey season. And that's down in the south in a couple states. I did not know that.
Hmm.
Like, I'm not, what? Listen, I am not the turkey, like.
And sometimes,
you know.
Not having a decoy might be better.
Wikipedia.
You know?
Well, in some of those timber spots, for sure. Like,
yeah.
If you want them to just keep coming to the call, like, I get that.
Because they're searching.
Well, and they can't find it, right?
They can't find
right,
it.
So they're like, they keep coming closer, for mm-hmm. sure. I think that would be.
Sometimes you have a decoy, they don't respond to it well.
Or you could do a two-man job where you're set up here, and then you got somebody behind you calling, like, and you just cut them off.
Just like elk hunting, you want them to come. You know, especially during bow season, like somebody's on the bow in front, you know, you go 50 yards back. Like we tried to pull that crap on the turkeys that were hung up. You know what I mean? We started backing up. Like Cody's like the turkey killer. He's the guy, him and Kyle. So they were like, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go 50 yards back. Like we're leaving mm-hmm. to see if that pulls him and gets him to come, because I've seen it work. And he's 100% done that, because it's like, hey, I'm missing out and they're leaving. I'm going. Yeah. And maybe that's the final that gets them.
Last year in Nebraska, we did that where we had a couple of hens and a strutter across a road that we couldn't hunt. And so we set up kind of right by property line.
Sure.
And then Sam went down to call.
Right.
Down like this little ravine, I should say. And these hens, I mean, from me to that camera, I'm sitting in the scrawniest little cedar tree you've ever seen, with like, it was like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And I'm just waiting for this strutter to come by, and these two hens came and they just stood right in front of me this whole time. And I'm like, oh, Sam, that trick actually worked.
But well, and the other thing,
strutter never crossed the road.
It didn't.
Nope. When I saw the hens, I was like, it's on.
But the thing is, like him going back, but also him going down in that ravine, that changes the whole sound of that call, because
yes.
you could hear the difference. Like we had a bird in Oregon last week that was hung up and wouldn't come, and he was all henned up, and I could tell he wanted to come, and then he got in this section where it sounded different, and I was like, he's in the hole. You know, like if you know your terrain, like if you're looking at your mapping software, like if you're looking at Onyx or whatever you have, and you're looking at it and you could see, that's when it sounds different.
Like the creek bottoms and things
for
like that.
For sure.
Yeah, that's what Sam did. We were hunting along in this creek bottom, and a little culvert went under the road, and he's like, let's
turkeys
try this.
Turkeys can be finicky too. Just a little barrier like a road.
Oh, fence?
A fence. A turkey. A
fence.
A turkey can fly off the roost or fly across the field.
Does not want to fly.
They come up to a fence and like, I don't know what to do.
And they'll go under them all the time.
And
but when it's turkey season.
Yeah, so a little
barrier. You got to have a section.
Can root, even a road. You know, they're walking across the field. They get to the ditch and they're like, there's a road here. They get kind of nervous. They don't know if they want to cross. I mean, just that little bit of change can, you know.
See now.
So,
perhaps they're the stupidest, smartest birds you've ever heard.
I say that all the time as well.
Yeah.
What Cody did is, he's got on his piece of property, there's an old fence up, right? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything. It's just there. He never tore it down.
Time's gone.
It's the old fence everybody has on their farm in a timber, and you come across some fence. Mm-hmm.
So he cut a hole right in one of the sections, and everything comes through it. It's like the highway now, right?
Yep.
So just like we're talking about, like, okay, the strutters and the turkey, they don't want to come through. Well, now he put it where it's just off to the left side of the blind. So when they come in and he did a food plot right there and everything, he just dissed everything and got everything. And then he had something growing. I don't know if he did oats or barley or something, but he had something coming up in the food plots that he did, like, you know, in February or whatever. Is the pinch point.
We need to get this, Cody, a turkey crossing sign.
Right there by the fence. Yeah. Bro, they come and right to it.
By the fence. That would be hilarious.
They come right to it. He knows. Because
they're not going to care. They just put up a little turkey crossing sign.
Yeah. Just for amusement.
Especially if you can get a picture.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
A picture of a turkey crossing.
And when they flew down in the morning, they flew right down from the mountain, down through the trees, hit the ground, farted around, came right through that slot.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you, when you're hunting out west in the mountains, where do they roost? Because here they roost like on creek bottoms and the tallest trees, like big sycamores or cottonwoods, things like that. But like out west, do they roost on top of the mountains?
So it depends on if the wind's blowing. Like Cody's house is in like kind of a little bit of a bowl, and here's the mountainside on this side. So they'll be on the mountainside, but not at the top because that's where the wind's blown. So it'll be on the side of the mountain, out of the wind, right? Mm-hmm.
This other turkey ski lift.
Yeah.
Take them up there.
Crazy. So then this other place we hunted, they call it the gauntlet because if you come through there, you have to come right by the blind and everything. So you got to run the whole deal. If you come through, you're done.
As a turkey?
As a turkey.
Okay.
If it depends on which way the wind's blown. So if I'm looking at the canyons here, if the wind's blowing right to left or left to right, they're like right over the canyon down on the hillside, on the mountainside, like tucked out of the wind. Or if it's blowing from behind us, they'll be on this side of this little bowl. So it all depends on what the wind's doing, but they do the same thing. A lot of fir trees, a lot of big evergreen trees. They'll just get in because it's blocking the wind. They can't be seen. They're like a damn owl. Like just hiding.
Do they ever pitch down to the very bottom of the mountain?
Dude, it's far. I don't know if I've never seen that, but I would be up to see that because it would be
like the
far.
Dudes in squirrel suits.
Dude, it would be 100%.
You see about 30 turkeys coming off
they
the hillside.
They could probably do it. They just don't know. They could probably do it.
But then they can't get back up to roost there again.
Well, Cody says they walk that hillside. They just come up it like, and I watched them. We were staying at this lodge, and we watched them like go up and down this one hillside that was like all rocky and crap. And they were just freaking up and down. Like they're so quick.
Yeah,
that's why they don't have spurs,
dude. We killed one with some hooks, and then they
little
killed
nubs.
But for the most part, I have never killed one. Me personally, I've never killed one that has any kind of
yeah.
Well, maybe tomorrow.
I get the nubs.
Maybe tomorrow you can get
some. Dude, I'm gonna try my best over here, and then we got a couple more places to go, and then turkey season's over, and then start fishing.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to turkey. I just want to get up to date on, since we had you in last, just a couple highlights, quick synopsis of your. Obviously, you're probably still doing some, I don't know if you did any snows, Canada's ducks. You probably did some stuff after Christmas. Maybe
because I was
hunts.
Here in December, the beginning of December. So, oh, crap, lots went on. Like, I mean, the weather was bananas everywhere. I mean,
I didn't see a goose
to get some traveling in.
There's no one that you talked to last year. I don't even care what freaking continent you were on. It was the craziest weather year ever.
Did you see a goose feed last year?
I mean, out by us we did, but when we were traveling, it was weird.
Dude, I did not see a single goose in a cornfield the whole season.
Well, it wasn't cold enough for them to have to carb up, right?
Or a bean field, either of them. They just ate grass and didn't fly.
Because they didn't have to burn, you know, body fat and everything else to move around because it wasn't cold.
No, dude.
They have to eat what they eat when they need to eat it. And that's like something that just goes, you know, goes to show you what they need to do at certain times of the year. When we, let's see, after we left here.
Montana?
We ran to Montana. in Wyoming, and we did that whole shtick again, which was insane.
Hot tub?
Because the hot tub was warm. Mm-hmm. Like it was, dude, it was. It,
hey, you should plug the show. If they want to see what the hot tub's all about.
We have the episode up on the YouTube series. We have the next two shot, which was a joke again.
We're a goose hunt where you have two shells.
Where you get two shells. So me and Tyler, we didn't even shoot a round this year. But so we had a great, so I'll go through that really fast. So we had a great pit, like right off the river and right off the roost. We were probably, I bet you we were 3/4 of a mile off the river and no weather. So what do the birds want to do?
Sit on water.
They get off the water, and then when they finally move, they just go far. They go right past us. If it was snowing or 15 degrees, oh, it would have been a bloodbath, like the pit we were in, because they had to come right out over us.
The birds were there.
They were there, but they weren't there in numbers like they should have been, and they weren't. Everything was different because of the weather. So that was okay. It was fun. The event was great. The Two Shot guys do a great event in Torrington. Then we go to Montana, and it's totally not the same. Like, there's not as many mallards. There's not as many geese. We had a couple goose shoots. We did. We shot a field that I've never seen in my life. We shot a cornfield that they burned.
The popcorn field.
And it was popcorn. It was like, it smelled like burnt popcorn. It smelled like when you screw up.
You do an extra 10 seconds in on the microwave popcorn. Yeah. You didn't get
the whole house up,
or it's
right?
Like the early 2000s microwaves that had the popcorn button, but you had to take it out early.
Still screwed up.
Yep.
Do you count between pops? I'm like a 3-second guy.
If it stops popping.
1, 2, 3. And if there's only like one pop, it's done. You know.
Hayden, are you a popcorn connoisseur?
Oh, yes.
So you know when to pull them out?
Do you count?
So you don't get...
We had, for a while, one of those, like, bougie...
You had a hot air popper? Makers.
Well, oh, no, yeah.
It was one of the ones that looked like the movie theater ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like a glass box, you put oil in the thing, and yeah.
That's the one of those.
That's the best popcorn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely a popcorn
connoisseur. But if you burn it, the whole house smells like absolute jack wagon. Just
yes.
It's bad. Yeah.
It's real bad.
So are you microwave now? Do you count between pops like I do?
Well, so our popcorn, I don't relate.
The popcorn button never works. Either does the pizza one.
The popcorn one works.
Who cooks pizza in the microwave?
Well, when you're heating up a leftover slice.
There's your first error.
No, dude, throw it in the oven. You don't want soggy crust.
Don't heat it up.
I don't.
Just eat it cold.
I care whether I'm having.
Just eat it cold.
Dude, I'm not even wasting time on heating up the
oven. You had the hot pizza last night.
Yeah, now you got cold pizza
the next morning.
Totally different food group. It's like bread and toast.
Depends on the pizza.
So.
Anyways.
So, yeah, the total. Dude, I've never seen that in my life. And I don't know. That's a practice there. They just burnt the field. And there was just like just burnt freaking. Just crazy. Just burnt.
Were all the kernels popped like popcorn?
They weren't popped. They were just like burnt.
Probably because it wasn't popcorn.
It wasn't right. But it was just the weirdest smell and deal.
Easy for the geese to find the food.
For sure. Because all the stuff, like everything was burnt. Like just
was the field just like yellow with corn kernels?
It was, because everything else was black. Like all my boots, my pants, like everything was like, everything got that black charcoal. It was like walking through charcoal. Like everything was covered on your feet. It was.
What the heck?
And they're just, like I said, there just wasn't the birds there.
Yeah.
And just, it wasn't normal. So the weather had screwed that up. There was stuff still stuck in Canada at the time. It was just nuts. Then from there we did California with my buddy David, who's a MLS soccer player and played in Portland. Now he's playing in Charlotte. So he's got a place in California. Like, he's got a house down there. And it's literally...
get you some...
Dude, it's right in the middle
tickets to a Sporting KC game.
Yeah. Like, if you guys want to go, I'll find out when they're coming here. He's made right in the middle of all these refuge systems. So we did some snows down there. And honestly, we had... Which you would be like, what? We had a banger of a hunker hunt in California. It would have been a little north, and it was a smoker. Wait till you see that deal. That's coming.
Like
And when Big was
Tony's?
That?
Dude, it was...
Big Tony's?
It was honkers, and it was dirty. We shot a couple ducks. We were on this man-made lake kind of off this giant reservoir, and for whatever reason, they were stacking up in there. I think it was just like a loaf because there was grass. There was grass. It was kind of like a horse farm kind of where there was like a grass pasture then down to, you know, the water's edge. So they were like, so we had full bodies. We had some HD honkers in the back, and then we have like some floaters in the front. So, and we had a great hide on that deal.
When was that?
That was January.
January.
And that was,
shoot,
that was pretty ugly.
What's the limit there? Five.
It was pretty.
Five snows.
And we actually had
five honkers.
And we actually had a couple specks come in, and we couldn't. They were like, there's no specks up there. And sure as crap, it's like, dude, I think those are specks, and they're coming, and they're coming. And they, we didn't, everybody was like, no, there's no specks up here. And they land like far left, and they land on the water, and everybody sees, as soon as, like, right before they touch down, everybody sees this. Everybody sees big orange feet. And they're like, what? And I think we killed two of them, or I don't know what happened, but we got a couple specks out of that, and everybody was jacked up. And then they were talking like, I can't believe we saw specks. And he's like, somebody said, next thing we're going to see snows up here. And somebody's like, listen, there was two snows here, like in the whole freaking county. And we're like, we're sitting there just jacking around. And all of a sudden somebody goes, I hear a snow. And I'm like, whatever. I'm like, dude, no way. And all of a sudden, and you're like, holy crap. So the guy that's with us, no BS, he is an incredible mouth caller for snows.
And like with a call or?
No, just with his mouth, like just going, just like that. And I'm just like sitting there. And bro, he's like, it probably doesn't sound like great in the blind, like you could tell it's good, but when you're out it probably sounds phenomenal. And bro, he called, it was far, and he called this snow in to like 20 yards, and then like an hour later somebody goes, I hear another snow. And I'm like, get out of here, dude. The two snows that were in the area happened to be like by themselves, different parts of the day, and came right into like 20 yards, and we freaking smoked both of them. So the Cali trip was awesome.
Used to have snows.
Yeah, you killed them all.
So that county's missing three specks and two snows.
Wow.
And a boatload of honkers.
Yeah.
So, and then I just finished up like just at home, like having fun, and you know,
February we got to meet up with you in Nashville.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so we got to do that for a while
for the kickoff of the turkey decoys.
That kicked off the FA.
The vest and everything. Yeah, all the products.
Yeah, we sold out of the vest.
We did. That was a really was good hot. Show. That was a great show.
The vest has been phenomenal. I love it.
The vest is cool.
I always put the... So really, for anybody that doesn't know, or if you haven't been paying attention, so FA debuted their turkey lineup this year. So vest...
Decoys,
calls,
clothing, calls.
Yep. Yeah, so everything, kind of everything you would need for turkey hunting. Yep. But the vest, it's all, so people come into the store or whatever. That's where I deal with everybody pretty much all the time. So, and they're looking at vests, or maybe they don't have one. And so,
as soon as you show the seat,
you put it on
show
the seat,
it's over.
Mm-hmm. And it's over. And
I did
like,
the same
this
thing.
This is phenomenal.
Toronto, we did a show in Toronto, and it's the same crap we did at NWTF. Like, guys would come up. I go, are you looking for a turkey vest?
Yeah.
And I go, are you serious about looking for one?
Yep.
And I go, get your money out. What? I said, you're going to buy it. And he's like, no, whatever, dude.
He's not lying. He did this at NWTF.
Put it on, pull the seat down, pull the seat up. The guy's like,
take my money.
I'll take it.
Yeah. How many times did that happen in Nashville? Or some dude was running around with it and showed his buddies, and they all come over to buy more?
Yep. What was funny as hell, it's the first time I've seen it, like, is that kid put it on TikTok. And then a couple guys came over and said, I saw that vest on TikTok. I need one. And I'm like, well, do you want to try it? No, I just give me it. Like,
Bottomland.
Bro.
Take it.
Yeah.
What pattern you want. Here it is, like Greenleaf or Bottomland. And it was a Greenleaf. You're starting to see like a huge uptick in Greenleaf
I
as
am
well.
Seeing that.
And
seeing it on shows now.
Yeah. Listen, if you would have told me, and you know
that's
from the
store.
That's
what I got this spring. I'm wearing Greenleaf.
If you would have told me 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that obsession on the Mossy Oak side wouldn't be that relevant in the Turkey Woods, I would have called BS 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, because it was the king.
Yeah, like there's no way obsession's going away.
No way. And you wouldn't tell me that any other pattern that came out for spring turkey would be as effective or sought after for the spring turkey woods than obsession was. I don't care where you were. Then Bottomland starts coming on and just everything. And you know what? It doesn't matter where you are. Like, guys are like, I'm in Maine. I'm buying Bottomland. I'm in, like, they don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Bottomland right now is running.
Right, red hot.
Yeah.
And I like Greenleaf. I like Bottomland and I like Greenleaf. I like both of them. I think the Greenleaf looks so killer in the woods. Like, I think it just looks badass.
I think both of those camos are a good dual purpose camo, though, too. So for me,
three purpose. Like, you could deer hunt in Bottomland.
That's what I'm saying.
And
so
Greenleaf.
But early, you get in Greenleaf, too. You could do that.
Early
you?
Deer hunting.
Right.
Or even, okay, so Bottomland or either one. One, if you're like, I bow hunt a bunch, I'm in the trees.
Sure.
So that Greenleaf has the green in there to match with the
a little early
the
season bow hunting, yeah.
Foliage.
Yeah. Sure.
Plus the, and also too.
You I could dove hunt in Greenleaf, couldn't you?
No doubt.
Oh, 100%.
And I right, don't know.
I dove hunted in obsession.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that or wear a one piece sunflower. I'm going to get a sunflower costume and just stand out there. And my face.
Patrick.
Is
don't what? Inspire a YouTube video.
Oh. Well, we've inspired
Hayden,
a dude, couple
Hayden,
videos.
While we're on this podcast, can you look me up a sunflower costume?
I'm just saying we have the turkey vest.
I'm here for that.
We have the turkey vest snack video we'll do.
And the sunflower.
We're going to do a sunflower dove hunt costume.
Oh, my God.
We're just coming up with stuff.
Dude,
I'm
here
down,
for it.
Well, Hayden's
then why don't
write
you,
it down.
Then why don't you do like a tree trunk? Why don't you be a tree trunk in the woods and shoot like squirrels or something?
So we have
a squirrel hunt in a
we have a
tree trunk costume.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about this on the podcast on our Halloween one because we have a couple customers that dress up in a Halloween costume every year and go out and bow hunt and shoot some does. Yeah. And one year he's in a Pikachu onesie, bright yellow up there, smokes this doe.
Dude, I am so for that,
and it's so fun.
I want to see that.
Okay, so the Greenleaf, the one thing. Sorry, I get off track.
Easily,
yeah.
Squirrel brain.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got ADD, ADHD, DD.
Oh, you got it
TV.
All.
TV.
He's got every letter of the alphabet.
HGTV.
I've got HGTV. And so
he's got WNBA, NBA,
yeah,
MLB,
TNT, LOL, OMG,
AOL.
I did have AOL. Oh, some dude at the store the other day. I go, hey, can you write down your email? And it was AOL. Email and I'm like, what?
Is this still around?
It apparently it is.
Did you ask him
and
if
I
he has dial up
AOL?
He's got Hotmail.
And I'm like, no, not it. This is AOL is older than Hotmail. Like, what are we doing, bro? You got to step up your game. At least get a Hotmail, a Yahoo, or something.
I think Hotmail.
Hayden,
and Yahoo
where's
are
the same where's
thing.
The dial up? Where's the dial up sound that we can
got
pull
an AIM?
Up?
That's what you're gonna.
AIM.
So that guy can get paid like one time in 2024. You know what I mean? Because that guy was getting paid every time.
It's like
that
an iPhone 4 now. iPhone 4 wouldn't even work.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So the Greenleaf.
Yes.
Part
How
of
do
that
you remember
too,
where you were?
I don't know. Well, that's the LOL part.
Okay.
I can remember.
You can remember where you left off.
Yeah. So the LOL, sorry. Gosh, dang it.
So the
now green, I can't even.
The Greenleaf, I got you on track. I got you on track. Greenleaf.
I'm lysdexic.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so the Greenleaf, I think part of it too, and I don't know, maybe, is the nostalgia look to it. It's like.
The vintage
it's
look,
just
for
cool.
Sure.
It's vintage.
Well,
it's like old school
land.
Camo.
Well, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
The Bottomland's been around forever.
Yes.
And it's just. it's like king right now.
For sure.
Bottom land it. When we at the NWTF show, dude, you can't carry enough bottom land. We came out with Rogers had the bottom land leggings for women.
Yep.
We didn't bring enough because you don't know, right? We only have so much space.
Crapshoot, right.
Yeah, so to bring stuff, we go there, we run out. Like, it's wild.
How much stuff came back?
Not much.
Not hardly any.
Yeah, because you guys were blowing out. Well, you were blowing out some obsession
now,
stuff.
Now, crazy. Yeah.
And some other things.
We're doing some deals.
Well,
that
sure.
Are,
but still.
Know, we go there to sell.
Yeah.
We ain't there
that
to.
Show, that's a cool show.
I'll tell you what. We ain't going there to make money. We just go in there to
have fun.
Help customers.
Get their gear, for sure.
Exactly. So I do like the nostalgia, that vintage look to it as well. But I ended up getting Greenleaf this year. And Sonya had bottom land. We're out opening, you know, turkey. And she even goes, man, that looks good.
I know.
Sitting there. A little bit of green still, right?
Well, you know, and here's the other thing. Like the other thing is, like, everybody's like, I'm going to be in, like, you know, the same pattern of everything. The cool thing about the vintage patterns or Greenleaf and Bottomland is there's a bunch of hunts that I was just wearing brown pants, like the brown cordata pants that we have.
Yeah.
I was just wearing those, and I was wearing like the Bottomland long sleeve, and then I had the Greenleaf vest on. Mm. And it's like, dude, like, I know that sounds like a lot and it's like a fashion clash, but it's not. Like, it actually looks
good.
It all
goes together.
Because Greenleaf is just bottom land on the back side of it.
Right. So all that ties in. So you could get away with looking like that. Whereas before, like, if you start putting other patterns together, like if you had Obsession and bottom land, like if you had a couple patterns together, you look a mess.
Obsession and Breakup.
Yeah. Like, you look a mess. Right. Whereas I think with these patterns that have, you know, say bottom land in the background or some of it in there, like you're looking at Greenleaf or something like that. Like,
what do you think about Habitat mixed with bottom land? Because bottom land's on the backside of Habitat.
Yeah. I haven't looked at it like together. Like, I haven't worn any pieces like that, but I bet you could get away with that and not look like a schlep. Like, you don't know what you're doing, or like this guy just strolled out of.
That's what I used to look like in the turkey woods. I counted one time. I had six different camo patterns on because I didn't have like proper turkey hunting apparel.
Well, you were
so
just wearing whatever.
I just cleaned out the closet
just so you could hide.
Hey, but you were out there.
I was out there, so man. Whatever. I had every different. I had Optifade through Breakup to Bottomland to whatever knockoff Badlands, whatever. Like, there were so many different camo patterns.
So the FA lineup. Obviously, we talked about the vest. It can carry all your calls as well
your
as
licorice,
snacks.
100%.
Exactly.
For sure.
But along with that, one of the big things, and I think the videos out there, the process that went through of making the decoys with Tom.
Yeah, that was cool.
World-class carver, great guy.
Great.
You know, so they're a little bit different, right? You look, I mean, there's all the companies have turkey decoys, so you know.
Listen, that's a hard category.
So
it's a hard category.
Different.
But I think we have some really cool decoys. One of the things that I really want to talk about on the decoys is I took like somebody commented on one of the videos that we had up. I don't know if it was the video we shot and shot some turkeys in Washington where we killed the one that came in or whatever at Cody's or whatever. But somebody commented about, you know, everybody has a comment and I love some of them. Some of them I'm just like, I shake my head. But the guy said, man, that for a jig decoy, that's a huge turkey beard. And, you know, they don't. And I'm like, so on our decoy, if you want to cut the beard, cut the beard.
It like was,
you
can. There are scissors. You can cut
them. Well, it was designed that way so you can trim
it. We made it long so you, like, I'll be honest, like, Cody cut his to, like, a little nub where it sticks out because he wanted, like, a really, you know, inferior, like,
a subordinate or whatever.
100%. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I think I'm a tough guy, but I'm really not, right?
Yeah.
I cut mine, like, all jagged and all like jacked up,
Of course you would.
You know what I mean? Like, mine's like, I got a couple strands that are long and some of it's short, and it looks like I've been in a couple fights, and I look, I'm a mess, bro. Yeah. I don't know how to tie a tie. I am an absolute freaking mess, right? Yeah. That's what mine looks like. So if you want to do whatever you want to the beard, do it. Like, if you want it shorter, cut it.
Yep.
Cut yours on an angle. Yep. The other thing I did, because listen, it is like plastic fibers. It's like, the other thing I did is I, when I got it out of the box, I bent it down and I taped it. So it's bent down because it's hard to, it has a little bit
sometimes
of memory.
Sometimes they get packed. Yeah. The memory, it kind of points up.
And they come with like a little rubber band holding it together too.
So if you want to force it down and just tape it. Like I did it like the night before we left for the trip. And by the time I got there and popped it out of the box, it was hanging over. So then it was all scraggly and bent over. And it was this guy's been
in. I'd say the consistency of the fibers is more like monofilament fishing line.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of memory it has.
Just trim it, right? So just trim it. So
yeah.
Listen,
I got you.
We're here to help people.
Yeah. Just to ask.
Yeah.
I love the flock. Obviously, that flock.
On the back of the Jake.
Yeah. That jet black, the visibility of it looks awesome.
I think the zero gravity motion system is the best thing to come to the turkey decoy.
You know, we had some pretty high winds on a couple hunts, and I'll tell you what. I think I sent you the videos. Mm-hmm. It looked really good. Like, it wasn't like I was and we had like high winds. Like, it was ripping. And I was thinking to myself, is this going to be too much? And all it was doing was just, it would go over to here. It would come over to here. It was looking killer.
Yeah.
I thought the movement was.
Yeah.
Were you getting a little bit of back and forth action on it?
The coolest thing I saw was that the hen was getting a little bit, and it looked like she was just kind of bugging and just kind of going through the grass. And I'm like, oh my God, that looks freaking killer.
The hen looks awesome. And it is, okay, so if I'm being honest, when I first saw it, right, I had to get used to it.
Yeah.
It's a totally different position.
Yes.
It's not a standard look
right
to a decoy. A little bit wider body, you know, a little bit different look. Obviously, they work. A lot of people already this spring turkey season for the first year were super pumped about it. I'm sure you are seeing it.
Oh.
There's pictures that people are using them. I know it's for the first year, so, right, we just keep, you know. But I thought you guys did awesome on that. Obviously, there's a call lineup. Crazy sales on those going on, too. So,
and listen, there's only so much you can do.
Single mouth calls.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do on
mouth calls
call.
Or mouth calls. Slate call is slate.
Yeah.
You know, so, but.
I really like the pants.
Well, and going back to the clothing, just like Josh just said on the pants and the shirt, like, listen, I was looking through some stuff. The insect repellent that we have on the pants and the shirt on the Cordata series is good for 100 washes. I have not seen anyone else be higher on the washes. I think we are at the top of how many washes it can take.
It's the same stuff the military uses.
So,
isn't it?
And I'll be honest, like, we hunted Eastern Washington, and one of the guys that hunted with us one day did not have that stuff on. And he was pulling, he said, I just picked the second tick off me. And then all of a sudden everybody starts panicking and looking. Dude, we had no bugs on us. Like, we had, there was four of us to one of him. We were all sitting in the same area and we had none. So I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think having it built in is the way to go.
No doubt.
Doesn't mean you're not going to use some spray or whatever, but still.
Sure. But how often do you forget it?
But if it's
or
bad,
it's out.
If it's bad and you're like, hey, I don't know, you know, because what I would do is if I think it's going to be bad, I'll spray it on my boots, right? So then they don't
sprayed
even.
Once this year. It's my first year now.
And no,
not
nothing
having to
yet.
Spray.
Well,
I love it.
Then that's awesome. Because that's the only thing I would spray is my boots.
When spring comes, like the Sawyer's Permethrin is like our top seller at the store.
Yep.
We're out. We sell so much.
Yeah, that you can't
so
keep
then
it
guys
stock.
Come in. Well, guess what?
All gone.
Now what?
Get the pants or get a shirt. Now, here's the other thing. Like, listen, this is my favorite. I'm wearing them now. This is my favorite pair of pants, the Cordatas.
Yeah, I wear them to the office, too.
They are awesome. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to be doing a lot of fishing. I'm going to be doing, like, when I go camping, I'm going to wear them. When I do, like, when I'm working on the duck club and there's bugs and there's stuff, I'm going to be wearing this stuff. This is not just turkey season.
Yeah.
This stuff is going to get worn all summer.
Well, and they're made.
And into early fall because, right. Like, first of all, they're comfortable as all hell. And I don't want to deal with the whole bug situation. Yeah. So I'm all about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pumped about that.
Yeah. I think as a whole, Final Approach did a bang-up job. Decoys, calls, clothing.
Did you go through the mouth calls? Like, did you, Josh, did you guys find which one that you like that fits you?
Because so everybody.
Are you not a mouth call guy?
Okay, so no, I don't use mouth calls, but I did ask Brandon.
Oh, yeah, Brandon's good.
So
yeah.
If you're around the area at the store, Brandon's kind of our resident turkey guru.
What did he say?
And he can use just about any of them. Okay. But I asked him, which one should I get? So he said, get the bat wing.
Yep.
I've got the Yelps down now. Now I'm working on, you know, the other stuff. But I've never done mouth calls. This is my first year actually trying it.
The V-cut for me, it has been the one that I just gravitate to. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple other, like before we made our own, there was a couple different like Yelpers or like a real basic cut that I would use so I could just kind of, but I would always sound like a younger hen with those. But this V cut, I sound like an old raspy bihotch who's in charge of the flock.
Yeah, and then you get the other girls all pissed off.
Because, so when I hit the slate, like I hit the slate, and it'll sound like younger hands. So, you know, kind of gives you that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll hear a couple fire off. And then if I go, what Cody has taught me, because Cody, believe it or not, is younger than me, and Cody's taught me a bunch about turkey hunting because he freaking lives it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he'll do his slate or he'll do a call or even a box or something, right? He'll do like a young hen, and then the old hen will cut off the young hen like calling.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that fires them up. So I'll slate and I'll go, and then I just go right over that, and they just lose their mind.
Yeah.
So it's like the young hen's like, what do you guys do? And then the old hag comes in and is like, don't you be talking to my man?
Yeah. I've always been I've always been a pop call and box call guy. So I'm learning it. I'm a work in progress.
And it's a distance thing too. It's a distance thing. Obviously the slate and the glass can go a lot further. Mm-hmm. Like Cody had a custom box call that he paid a crazy amount of money for or whatever. But I'm telling you what, like those birds that were far off, they weren't hearing the slate or like it's tough. Like when they're that far off, but that box call just
when the wind is
freaking ripping, bro, just cuts through the woods.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a box call is for, isn't it?
Yeah. It is like you will not use that, you know, in close or even when they're coming. Like,
and it's pretty totally easy call too. You know, if you just need to go out, I can make mine soft, you know, but if you're not, if sometimes a pot call is, so it's like box call is the easiest and then your pot calls, cause sometimes trying to figure out the striking,
right. You're going to try to get the right and the right spot on the pot call. Cause there is a sweet spot for sure. Like,
two things. One, don't forget chalk. You run out of chalk on a box call, forget it. It just doesn't work anymore. Yes. And if you run out of your sandpaper, scratch pad for your pot calls, and they get smooth,
you're out of the game.
Done too. So
and on the vest, we put a little like bungee style needle pinchers, like these little metal pinchers. Alligator clips. Thank you. That's where we have our. See, I tell the factory the little pinchy things. Like use those.
Yeah.
So we have those for your sandpaper or anything like that.
Scratch pads
and it stays,
or something.
You know, it stays connected to your vest.
Okay.
So, and what I do is I leave mine out. Like I don't zip it up. I leave it out.
Gotcha.
Because you're going to be calling and it's going to get soft. You know, you're going to lose it. So I just scratch right to it and start right back over. Because if you're calling a bunch, you're going to lose. You want that surface to be nice. So I just leave mine zipped up. So it's hanging out and I just keep going on it.
Gotcha.
If I'm calling a lot.
Sure.
And the mouth call is just, it's just the deal closer. Like when I know I'm going to get turkeys in, and obviously you can't move or do anything, you know, especially if you're hunting with somebody who maybe never shot a turkey. You want their neck to stand up. I always, you know, they come in and they're all balled up and they're all strutting and they're low. Yeah. I like to always make some kind of sound where they go, what?
Yeah.
And then you could just saw them off.
Get
right
a good
there.
Target to shoot at.
Yeah. So then I'll just like, you know, yip at them and get them to be like, what?
Right.
So then you could just.
Yeah.
Lop them off.
Well, while you're here, so a few things, but FA as a whole, not just turkey, can be anything. Kind of the plans going forward this year is you know, is there something we need to look out for? Is there stuff?
Sure, always something to look out for.
Will there be some new things coming out?
Oh, there's new things coming. Okay. I'm excited for...
Is that... What's it, waterfowl side?
Yeah, the water. Well,
so there'll be some new stuff.
You'll see new stuff throughout this summer. Obviously, before waterfowl weekend and before we come back, there's going to be some killer stuff in.
Okay.
As soon as we get it in, we'll promote it and launch it, and we'll hit social hard, and Josh will be on all that. So we're going to kick some killer items off.
So if people attending like our big waterfowl weekend, that can be something to look forward to.
Yes, there's going to be some killer stuff.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'll obviously we're still working.
We're working on it.
It's only spring, so we'll get what's coming when. And then people have been emailing like, hey, are you going to get this back in stock? And I return the emails as fast as I can. Like, listen, production is underway. Anything that was in stock, you know, and is out of stock, like somebody just emailed about like the Brandt decoys or and
then HD honkers will be back.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there will be a couple of things. Well, actually, there's a box restriction is off. I can talk about this. So we were having a box restriction where we could only do a 4-pack of HD honkers, right? So
due to shipping rates.
So yes. So now the restriction is off and we can go back to a 6-pack box. So that you'll see this year. So you'll basically have that combo pack, which is like a entry, a rester, and 4 feeders. Like we'll be back to that.
Okay.
So there's some cooler, cooler stuff coming. Yeah. We are working on a couple other things, like on some boxes. So there's a lot of things coming. There's some new items coming. I know, like if you look at all the online things and everybody going, we need this. Like we're working on it.
Right.
Stuff
takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Because if someone says, hey, we need this, and you come out with it in a month, there's going to be problems. So,
and I'm sure we'll do
sometimes it takes a year.
We'll do like a podcast when I come back for waterfowl weekend, like right before we could do it. And then we could really talk about, hey, here's what's here. Stuff. Here's what's out.
Yeah. There really is a lot of new stuff coming.
There is.
Now it's like actually think about it.
You start adding it up. Like,
yeah.
There'll be stuff. Like I can say this. There's going to be stuff on the goose side.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be stuff on the floater duck side. There's going to be stuff on the full body duck side and on the silhouette side. So, and obviously moving into next spring, there's going to be
going crazy
more stuff on the spring lineup.
I think there's probably new stuff in every category.
That's crazy. Never stops, man.
Listen, we're already like, what are we doing next year? So, you got to be a year ahead.
You work like, you know, in quarters, you're always working a quarter ahead, sometimes a year ahead.
We're working
if
a
not,
year,
you
if
just,
not more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This happens at different parts of the podcast, but I think it's time for our
lunch?
Second time. Yeah, lunch, too, is Patrick's Panfish Podcast News report. So,
Patrick,
it's a new
report.
Thing. It's our new segment where I give out some tidbits of info. Might be something you're interested in. Might not be anything you care about. It has nothing to do with panfish, although at some point there might be a story I want to tell you
crappie
about
bites
panfish.
On.
But
there you go.
Sounds fun to say, Patrick's Panfish Podcast Report. So, two things today. In
why
one,
can't it be like Project Pat's, like whatever. Like,
presentation. Well, we are looking for names,
bro. Project Pat. I know there's a rapper out there and whatever, but dude, you know, maybe we got to do
down.
Something else.
Write it down.
Use your connection. See if you can get
old Project
permission
Pat.
To use it.
You need to get a grill. Get some teeth in.
Oh yeah, some green leaf.
Little green leaf. Just go to Jason's Deli.
Little green leaf retainer.
Bro, just eat some spinach or just just jump into
the green salad
leaf
bar.
Retainer. Yeah, I was just gonna say you'll be looking like you'll be looking like green leaf real quick.
No kidding.
Raisins and spinach. You'll look like you'll be a mess.
So two things for this week. One, turkey harvest update. So I was going to talk about this earlier, but because this is part of my report. So I was looking at Oregon.
Yeah.
So I didn't find it for this year, but you guys are around like only 6,000 is what you typically is your harvest report.
Yeah.
Just under six, just over six. That's crazy. So Missouri, we have 11 days to go. Still in the season, we go till May 5th. Currently, we're sitting at 31,836.
In Oregon, do you call your bird in? Do you telecheck it? Or do you just slap a tag on it?
You just tag it, and then you report it on your license stuff. You have to submit
a report. You have a mobile app?
Gotcha.
Yeah, we do have a mobile app. We're good on that.
You're not AOL or dial-up. You're up with the times.
If you take Oregon as a rectangle, let's say, or somewhat of the state itself, like literally the I-5 corridor going south, you have like birds in this southern section from anywhere from like Roseburg and all those up a little bit. Like you have a pod there, and then you have a pod in like that. I don't even know if I would call it Tie Valley, White River, like a section there. Like literally, like you guys have turkeys throughout the state. Like and that's why we're so low. And we have some east too. Like it's so low.
It was wild. I didn't realize
the concentration
looked that quick. So 31,836. Franklin County still holds the top spot at 701. And then for anybody around the local Clay County area, which is the county we're in, we actually have the seventh lowest harvest rate of all the counties in Missouri. We've shot 90 turkeys in Clay County.
Is because Clay County's pretty residential?
Part of its population. So Franklin County is just outside of St. Louis. Okay. So if you look on the map, right, they do it by color shades.
Sure.
Right. So the dark maroon is like your top counties. If you look at that, there's two spots. So one is like the Mark Twain, south of St. Louis area, all those counties together, which makes sense, right? The Ozarks, the river, the Rolling Hills, it's perfect turkey area.
Total sense.
And then northwest Missouri, there's a couple counties. So
that makes sense.
And then if you look at your low populations, like Clay County.
But you're still killing turkeys in those places, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, whereas, you know, not killing turkeys where I'm at on the west side of the state.
Every county.
Because it's so wet.
Every county in the whole state has harvested at least a bird.
Not by me.
But if you look at the low rates, you have the Boot Hill.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cluster. And then around where we are, which
kind
of makes sense. Part of it is that residential. If you think about it, Clay County, right, you're in that. A lot of it is the Northland, the metro area just outside of Kansas City.
It's suburbia.
Yeah.
And if you think about where people hunting, they're leaving Clay County.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. It could also be an access issue, too.
Mm-hmm.
100%. There,
I mean, public land, private land.
Yes. That's right.
Where's the access?
Yeah.
And how easy can you knock on a door and get permission on a turkey property to begin with?
Around, right.
And then this was cool because we're talking about ticks and all that.
Yes.
So a Canadian study.
Okay.
This happened up in Canada, our friends to the north. So they figured out that there's a chemical that's excreted by ants that keeps ticks away. So
excreted or secreted?
Excreted.
So they poop it.
So some species of ticks are scared off by this ant pheromone. So these ants, I'm not going to get too scientific, but they have multiple different glands.
Right.
So they had to figure out which gland was scaring off these ticks.
Right.
So one of the glands, they'd freeze them. They did this big study and figured out that ants actually have a pheromone that they release, and it actually keeps ticks away. Hmm. So what they're doing is they're working with a team of chemists in Vancouver, and they came up with a way to produce the synthetic version of that.
Well, that's good because...
super wild. I'm thinking, what in the world?
Well, here's why. Because permethrin is not, you're not allowed to take that across the border into Canada.
And here's what I'm wondering. Obviously, we're a long ways off. They're just working on the patents, trying to figure out.
But that's awesome.
But permethrin, right? Pick up a can and read it. Don't get it in your eyes. Don't put it on your skin. Don't be in a ventilated area. Like,
toxic.
This might be
100%
a super safe way.
There's no doubt.
Right?
Well, and that's the thing with, listen, like, permethrin, DEET. Like, you know what I mean? Like, listen, we were, when we were in Ontario last year in early September, dude,
100% DEET. You come back with half an arm.
It makes your lip numb if you get it on your lip.
Dude, I think the mosquitoes were straight doing shot glasses of DEET. They were like, dude, we eat this for breakfast. Like,
oh,
you'd be spraying it on and they'd be like,
if you don't forget to wash your hands, you get a little lip paralysis halfway through because you accidentally. So you're eating your sandwich.
Real good for you.
Get a little ham and cheese and DEET.
Yeah, that's real good for you.
So,
well, that's awesome. I
might
hope
be getting
that
a little synthetic ant juice.
Well, and that's the other thing about, you know, not putting DEET on and wearing the pants with the stuff that's in the fabric.
That's also what I like, right? I don't have to worry. I'm not spraying. I keep my dogs away.
For sure.
You ever been downwind and you're outside and you're spraying your pants with permethrin and the wind, and you're like, well, hopefully that doesn't make me go blind.
I hope I need to go to the hospital.
I hope I'm not in a lawsuit in 40 years.
Oh,
Mike, it's going to be in contact.
It's going to be the Camp Lejeune.
Yeah.
How many? They're still doing Camp Lejeune.
Did you drink the water?
Were you in Camp Lejeune? Yes. So when you know, we're 40 years from now, were you part of, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it just, right?
Did you spray
it's
permethrin?
It's not great for you.
Did you ever have a moment you got permethrin in your eyeballs?
Did you drink DEET when you were fishing?
So,
straight maybe, highballed it.
Maybe we can look forward to some ant juice.
Oh my God. That's great. That's great.
Different, right?
Well, listen, they're
way
coming
go,
up,
science.
They're coming up with all these other, you know, sprays and stuff where you could kill insects, whether it's an ant or whatever, with all these, you know, things that are in a plant or that, you know, that's not a chemical. It's more of an extract of a plant and whatever. So that's getting, so it was only a matter of time where this is going to start jumping off. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And then I want to finish up with one question for both of you. And I try to ask some people, but, you know, hunting wise, and maybe I've asked you this before, but one dream hunt, so it can be anything from squirrels to Cape Buffalo, but, and I'll go first so you two can think about it. You get one dream hunt to go do.
Can it
do.
Be hunt, not any, something like college gonna, campus squirrel hunt?
Whatever hunt.
Oh, I know. So now that you said that, you opened it up. I know exactly what I want to do.
But you get one dream hunt. So for me, I've always wanted to go on a Yukon moose hunt, bow hunting, you know, where you're floating up the river, you know, it's the fly-in and
I get it.
I would love doing that. One, shooting an animal that huge, I'd probably freak out. The craziest one, and this goes beyond any level I've seen, but I was watching the guy sneaks up on the, I think it was a bear though at the time, but he gets full scuba gear and wades up to the beach.
Oh yeah, I saw that video. In.
It might have been from Meat Eater.
I think it was.
Anyways, that was kind of
like
wild.
Some SEAL
that was
Team
some
6
wild
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they came
like
in.
Like floating his bow on a boogie board in front of him.
They were raiding Bin Laden's house.
Yeah, that's pretty much. All right, Josh, you.
So mine's the Yukon moose hunt.
Okay.
So just the dream hunt?
If you go on the moose hunt, I will help you eat it.
Hey, no doubt.
Oh. Is moose good?
Oh.
On my way there, I'll fly into Oregon.
Bro, come you know? On with it. We will freaking grill it.
There'd be plenty to go around.
Oh my God. Yes.
6 foot back straps.
See, it looks like half this table.
Yeah.
The hard part about picking a dream hunt is I've got a handful of
them. And there's Well, you
but
can
if a couple. If I had to pick one that like I would like to do within the next 5 years or so, I think that it'd be like I've always wanted to go on like a really good river hunt. Like a shallow, like cold, like the hot tub,
like
a hot
or
slough,
like Platte River,
like Platte, like yeah, whiskey sloughs, like hit up the Platte blind, yeah. But like
it's on fire
when it's on fire.
Yeah,
yeah, that's hard. That's what I want.
Do regulations like does it like?
But okay, if it's well, anywhere, anytime, no rules apply hunt.
That's what I want
to
know.
I'm gonna take a. Just for safety purposes, a pellet gun to my old college campus and just whack squirrels.
And what's your old college campus?
Emporia State University.
Oh, yeah. We were in the same.
But the squirrels were very friendly there.
We were in the same conference.
You could stack a lot of squirrels on your strap.
Gosh. Okay. If I would say. I would do an all-inclusive trip to New Zealand and check off several things.
Yeah.
A wallaby, a peacock.
You can just get the licorice pukaki, at Hy-Vee.
A pukaki.
A what?
It's a little shit bird, a little blue bird that is like a nest raider.
Okay.
Pukiko. I'm sorry. Pukiko. I had it wrong.
Kiko. Well, whatever. A pickerel.
Okay, Pukiko. Continue.
Oh, that's a fish.
So 1, 2, 3, and then obviously ducks and geese or whatever. Now, if I am...
Did everything you say, was it a there, bird?
Yeah.
Well, not a
peacock, wallaby. They do have like a...
Okay, it's just so crazy because that's the difference... Right, mine's big game, and I knew there was going to be some sort of foul with you two.
Well, for sure.
He's going to go shoot now, some obscure crow species in New Zealand.
Yeah. They don't have, that's that pukiko. It's like a nest raider. It doesn't fly. It's just on the ground, and it just raids nests. So you
shoot it with a rifle?
You can shoot them with anything in the sections that you can shoot them because it's
how
like.
How big are they?
It's like this big, and it's got long legs, and it's bluish black, and it's like. It's just a little peckerhead is what it is. So they have those. They have peacocks.
My first thought was wallabies. You were going to say a stag. New Zealand stag.
No, I got zero interest
in
that.
You want to do your New Zealand turkey
shooting?
That's
what I would. We'll totally shoot some turkeys
if
there.
If I was
they
going to
dead.
New Zealand, then it would be stag on mine.
And then we're going to shoot feral goats up in the hills.
Okay.
And then we'll probably shoot a pig. Well, not shoot a
You'd
pig.
You'd have
we'll
to go for knife. Like 2 weeks.
Yeah. You get knife a pig. Because you don't shoot them, you just knife them and let the dogs catch them. And then we'll shoot some ducks and geese and black swans. So that's
that's an all-inclusive hunting
and we didn't
trip.
Even go fishing yet. Like, we didn't even go offshore fishing.
Go offshore fishing.
Or none of that. So all that is that. Or
you got to make that 24-hour plane ride worth it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, if there's no rules, okay, like just like Josh said, if there's no rules, I am going to sit with a 20-gauge with a barrel extension, like I'm going to have as many. I'm going to shoot
How about
two
like
and three. I'm going to shoot a monster tube, but 2 3/4 so I can get more in this. So however many I can get in. And I'm going to sit in downtown Portland on the roofs and wait for the crows to come back from Ross Island and everywhere else where they go. And they come back into town because they come back into town by the thousands because they sit on the top of the buildings and stay warm because all the ventilation is there.
Yep.
Bro.
Yep.
I'd run out of ammo. Like somebody would have to helicopter a skid on top of the roof for me to shoot. That's how many I would be shooting. It'd be.
Dang.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say like seagulls or something.
Wild.
I was thinking of a seagull / raven shoot in Iceland.
Well, I wouldn't mind doing, it's not legal, but a no holds, like your type of shotgun, and do a Comrant hunt out at Smithville.
Yeah.
There are so many. There were talks of doing a season, I thought, but they need
one. I think Ontario did one.
They did.
The Ontario Comrants did. Are
why
thick out there.
DNR people, why do we not listen to the biologists? Please listen to the biologist. When there is a species that is overrunning, whether it's seagull, cormorant, we have these little things in Oregon called terns, and they are eating like salmon and they're eating baby fish and they're doing all this damage. Like, dude, I will pay $5, $10 a tag for the year, whatever I need to do for you guys to make more money And I will shoot my one seagull, my one cormorant per day.
Yeah.
Just throughout waterfowl season, to keep just to keep everything in check.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you think it would scare them away? Like, if there was actually some hunting pressure on those birds, like, they'd go find somewhere else to be?
I mean, if you hunt them enough, I suppose they'd
There's so many that they'll never go because, well, where you would be shooting them is you would be shooting them where the food is, right?
You're shooting them on the water, so...
That's where the food is. They're never going to leave the food, but there's so many, they're doing such a disservice to the species that are being taken advantage of.
We can shoot mergansers. Why can't we shoot a cormorant?
Dude, I cannot believe we cannot do that because you're talking about, first of all, when have you seen, like, how many times have you seen a seagull die? They live to, like, I don't know how long, right? And if, well, and I'm sure some get picked off by some fish and some other things or whatever, but I'm saying they're in such huge populations. And the cormorants that are not being taken care of and managed. Like, come on. Plus, you can make money off of it.
Hey, I'd pay.
Are you kidding me?
I'd pay.
I think more fishermen would buy a hunting license to have the tag.
Oh, no doubt.
To shoot.
They'd be out there bass fishing and then be like, hold on,
you might get guys that fish into the hunting world just because they could go out during waterfowl season, you know, not during fishing season, because the last thing you want to do is have guys blasting in the summer, like just like freaking all of a sudden every boat pulls up and is just like freaking
going
12
to
gate.
Town.
Yeah, like that's a bad scene. But during waterfowl season, you don't think some guys who would fish and go, you know what, I'm gonna go out and shoot my freaking cormorant and seagull every day.
Yeah.
Well, then we can make cormorant and seagull decoys.
Faux show.
Right. Well, there you have it, folks.
Coming to you, seagull
cormorants and seagulls, full bodies.
That's right.
Floating
like this.
Too.
Hey, the cormorant decoy is just like this.
Yeah, and they're gonna have clips so you can clip them
with
to a tree.
Smile.
Yep. Exactly.
It's gonna be looking like old Two-Face.
Oh, yes. For sure.
Oh my gosh.
Coming to you. I'm excited.
Well, with that, always, make sure you like, subscribe, follow us on all of our social medias, check out our YouTube pages.
Yes.
And remind people, Hayden.
Yeah, go. If you are listening to this, the Rogers Podcast has officially moved over to the new YouTube channel dedicated to it. So that's youtube.com/@Rogers Podcast.
Nice.
Even if you're listening to the audio version, we'd appreciate it if you go over and subscribe to that because it helps out our numbers and helps out the algorithm. So go check it out.
And exactly. Listen, I got no shame begging people to go to the FA social pages and like, follow, and go to the YouTube channel. If you want to see some of the hunts we were talking about,
oh, no doubt.
Go to the YouTube channel. We always, you know, we're always pushing to get more views. And listen, if you just, you know, we try to have a good time, show the products in you so you can see it. It works. You know, have fun and just maybe you'll learn something there. Maybe you'll learn what not to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And enjoy the outdoors. Get outside. Even if you're just going on a bike ride or a hike, get someone that hasn't hunted into the outdoor world and make sure we're all staying together and going in one direction and conservation and all that good stuff. So, be safe out there in the woods and enjoy some fishing this season as well.
Yep.
And until next time, peace. I think it's time for me to go.